All right? So God wants us to do this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He wants us to do this. This is our obligation. And Allah is with us. Don't think Allah is not with us. Allah is with us ahead of us. Allah was ahead of your iman. I had to look to Allah to find out where I was to go. Allah is ahead of us. We are just following what Allah wants us to do. Now, we have in this language of the economy now, business and the economy, the expression human capital and material capital. Huh? Business capital, material capital, and other human capital. Human capital. You see how the world is conforming to the language of the Quran? This is a sign of Allah to us. Here they're coming up with something they call human capital and material capital, to distinguish between material and human, because they realize that they haven't kept the two before them. They haven't kept the two before them in proper focus to give respect to both. They have what you call brought about urban renewal, but did not keep the human interest right on the picture with the material plan for material development. They didn't keep the human interest and the material interest right there before them. Say, but how is this going to affect the human interest? They didn't do that. But now they realize their mistake, and they are coming with this language, human capital and business capital or material capital, so that the two are kept in focus, so that one growth won't punish the other. The business growth should never punish the human life. The commercial life should never punish the human life, the family life, etc. And the business and the human life should never thwart or deteriorate or diminish, pardon me, the business life. These things are supposed to be reconciled, where what we do out externally complements what's internally. It responds to, like we breathe, in and out. Breathe in for the life within. But every time you breathe in, normally you won't breathe it out. You got to give equal respect, right? And we just thought we were just breathing out something we didn't want. Science taught us that the trees couldn't exist if it wasn't for this form of air, our gas, that we're putting out here. They're in a balance. The animals and the plants. This is science, right? Yeah, we're breathing in, the tree breathing out what we need, the plants, not just trees, all plants. They're breathing out what we need, and then what we give back is what they need. Keep the balance of life. One of the factors in the balance of life. Yeah, so now, if we keep these two things, these two interests before us, and give them the proper respect, give the two the proper respect, our community can progress day by day, year after year, generation after generation, progress. Progress. You know, the real temple that's sacred in most religions is the temple of your internal life. Do you know that? Yes, that's the real temple. And really, the English word temple comes from tempo. Only means keeping time. What time? What? Temple, right? And this here is pulsating, right? Boom, boom, boom. They call it the temple, don't they? Yeah. See, I'm the boss with the hot sauce. God has blessed me how to bring it home to you. God has blessed me with that. I got to brag about my special gifts. Yeah, you know, if your son does a good thing, don't you want to be proud of him? Well, I'm your son. Be proud of your son. Yeah. I grew up in this community. I was a little boy, looking, curious, wondering, and God brought me to where I am because of you. Now, lastly, to keep these two interests together so that one won't cause the other one to be neglected, keep both of them going, God says, and seek the ladder of the destiny that's promised to you. That's the paradise. The world, the life after this world is finished like it is, and after we are finished like we are in this body. To seek that, says, with what God, using what God has made available to you, using the means and the methods and the materials, whatever, that God has made available to you to help you advance that. And we know now, we know for certain, that even our progress in perceiving what is the destiny after this world is gone, it has been aided tremendously by our increased knowledge of this material world. And it is, yes we are. Yes, we're going to get it. We're getting there fast. Yes, yes, so God says, but don't forget. Isn't that something? God says, well, that's answer, and it means plainly, and but don't forget or don't neglect Nasibaka, your share, minet dunya, of this material world. Now God told us that. Yeah. Oh, the man will mess up now. He's doing all right when he was teaching us prayers and everything. He's getting interested in making money and business going. God said, but don't forget or don't neglect your share of this material world. And dunya means this material world. And lastly, God says, when you hear the call for Jummah, respond. Leave off business. Put down your business. Isn't this making the destiny with God more important than our material world? It interrupts our material world. Says, when you hear the call to prayer, for Jummah, didn't say for any other prayer, said Jummah. When you hear the call of prayer for Jummah, leave off your business. That doesn't mean the imam is saying, well, it ain't Jummah, I don't have to. You won't. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the best conduct is for a believer is whenever he hears that then stop what he's doing and prepare for prayer and get drawn prayer. That's the best conduct. But God does not impose or force that upon us, like he stresses the Jummah, us coming to the Jummah prayer. Yes, so it says, but after the prayer is completed, go back into the ways of business. That's what Allah says in the Quran. But after the prayer is completed, you're free now from the Jummah. Didn't say go home and go to sleep. Didn't say go home and spend the rest of the day with the wife or the children or the wife and family. It says return to the avenues of business. Yeah. Because business upholds the society materially. You need that. You have to have it. And a Muslim, if he devotes himself as a business person, obedience to God, his business will make him a better Muslim. His business will be an influence in his life to make him a better Muslim. Business doesn't make me a less Muslim. Business strengthens my spirituality. Because I ain't doing business just to have money. I'm doing the business as an obligation to Allah. So that we can have better Islamic community. So that we can have more support for our children who want to go to good schools. And for our wives who want to have better situations at home or better conditions in their life. That's what we're doing it for. Well, how come you can't see this is sacred? This obligation is sacred. Just like spiritual obligation. It's a sacred obligation. And that's why in Islam, you don't just clean with water. Water is the preference. Water is preferred. But if you can't find water, clean with earth. Clean with clean earth. So God is telling us that we're not to think of just water as something that can cleanse us. Material can cleanse you too. This is not only in the Quran, this is in the previous scriptures too. I could quote it to you if I had time. And yes, so how do we purify ourselves? We purify ourselves by fasting. We purify ourselves firstly by not having shirk in ourselves. That's the biggest purifier. To get shirk out of your life. Worship none but God. God is authority over all authority. That's the biggest. One God that created everything. That's the biggest purger, purifier of the life. Number one, shahada. Number two, salat. And God says it is a cleanser, it's cleansing, right? That's salat. Number three is zakat. All of these words have purity implied in their terminology. All of them have purity implied in their terminology. So zakat is a purifier. Because it purifies the person who may have greed or stingy or fear for themselves that they ain't going to have enough to eat if they give a little bit to some other cause. So if you give, it's going to purify, purge that impurity out of your system, out of your spirit, out of your soul. Yes. And then fasting, you know, is a purifier. It purifies. Fasting is a purifier. And then Hajj itself, you think Hajj is a purifier? Hajj too is a purifier. And again, that's in scripture before. I could give you this in scripture before. Five. Oh, I'm talking too much here today. Too long here today. Yeah. Now, look at the Hajj. Look at the Hajj. The Hajj is the fifth pillar for Muslims. The last and the fifth. If you understand the hidden wisdom in the Hajj as a symbol, the Hajj is all four in one. The Hajj is Shahada. Because you started off saying, Labaik Allahumma Labaik, Labaik la Sharika, laka Labaik. Giving strong pronouncement that God is God, there is none to be associated with Him. I obey you, I obey you. Right? Yeah. That's that. Now, I said all of them. Salat, you know, is in the heart. You have to do the salat. It's in the heart. It's salat. And you do dawah on the mountain of Arafat. This is salat. This is salat. So it is a concentration on your salat too, the heart. Now, charity. The tenth day, you have to give and sacrifice, right? That's charity. Fasting. You can't offer and you can't kill things to eat while you're on the heart. While you're in the sight, the sacred parts of the pilgrim, so you are fasting, aren't you? You're restraining your appetite, so you're even fasting in the heart. And the last one is Hajj itself. Hajj itself. Hajj means strong effort. That's what Hajj is. If you ain't ready to make strong effort, don't make Hajj. It's not easy. And I mean, you have to have physical muscles too sometimes. But you definitely have to have some strong spiritual muscles and some strong moral muscles to be successful on your hearts. Yes. And much more I'd like to say. I'm going to tie it in with the Bible. It says, and it took David took five smooth stones from the water. Five smooth means refined. Very nice. Refined very nicely. Five smooth stones from the water. And he put one in his sling and fired it into the head of the materialist, the man with six toes and six fingers, the great Goliath. Fired it into his head and knocked him down, and then he took Goliath's sword and severed the head of Goliath from his body. Five stones. The Quran is a correction and a completion on the books that went before. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Now, So Hajj is a struggle, we say, right? Exerting ourselves. And actually, you have to be conscious of other pilgrims exerting themselves, don't you? It's almost like having a competition, right? You know, you're not really at each other, but you look around and somebody done got at you, and you weren't intending to be that way. And they're pushing you out of the way, so it's a competition. So you have to be able to keep your cool, or they ain't supposed to get angry and start no fighting there, you lose your heart. So you got to keep your cool and go on by, you big crazy sucker, you. You got to have a little humor too sometimes to survive the Hajj. Yeah, he come, boom, come through there, go on through there, big bull. Hoping that you keep your cool and finish your Hajj, finish the rites of the Hajj. Yeah. Now, so it is a competition. It resembles a competition. Doing Sa'i, doesn't it resemble the Olympics? Yes. The Olympic runners, yes. You know, you go, everybody running, a whole lot of people running. Like in the Olympics, there are a whole lot of people running, a whole lot of believers running. You get to a certain point, you have to run. Between the two posts, you have to run. Repeating or commemorating Hegas, running. May God be pleased with her. So you run. And you see the militant brothers, they be spiritual too. Imams, students of fiqh, or whatever, and when they get, he's only 80 years old, proud as he could be. So finally, we have to be competitive. Competitive. Let us be in the spirit of competition. Let us not be out of the spirit of competition. Let us accept the spirit of competition and let us be competitive in this society. Let us be competitive even among ourselves. Let us be competitive. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad used it a lot. He would put stars on the one who gave $100. And this person be published in the Nation of Islam, so he has 8 stars behind his name, $800. So that's inspired competition. So another brother, now he wants to get 9 stars. So it's competition. And if it all works to better the spirit and to keep people happy, and no one suffer or hurt by it, and the community is growing stronger, there's nothing bad in it. I don't want to see that kind of competition, though. I don't like that. It comes from, to me, it's outside of Islam. That's not the big compete. To show off one's gift. The best gift is given without attention to it. Okay, that's Islamic. And I believe that's for the best of the religions who tells the same thing. The best gift is a gift that you give quietly. It is your business and God's business. And you don't want a lot of publicity for it. You didn't do it for publicity. You did it for the good purpose. So we don't want that, but we do want what God says, go as in a race, all together, remember what he said? Mm-hmm. After all that is good, go as in a race after all that is good. That's competition. Go as in a race. That means we go as people trying to outdo each other. That's what you, in Islam, the competition must be clean, number one. If it's corrupt, then it's for the devil. It's for the Satan. Satan claims that. It has to be clean, number one. Clean competition. Not unfair, not for the unlawful, only for that is halal. Clean competition, done in the Muslim spirit, loving my brother, and finding pleasure in my brother's success. Though my brother did better than me, he scored higher than me. Finding pleasure in my brother's success This is the spirit of competition in Islam. That we all working for Allah. We all working for the good that Allah has made possible for us. So when one achieves it, we are happy for him, though we were in competition with him, hoping that we would be the number one person in the competition. But we rejoice just as much. And that's just natural, common, good human nature, isn't it? Yeah, it's only the spoiled human nature that's the other way. Can't, a poor loser, can't stand that the other person, disliking that the other person did more better than you or did more than you. This is the poor human nature, a character in us. It's not the good one. The best one is the one, and sometimes you find little children with that best one. No, let him have it. Let her have it. Oh, I won, but she almost beat me. Wanting her to get respect, get credit too, you know. Don't want her to feel bad. So Allah gives us only what is the best of our nature. The Quran is designed to give us back what is the best of our nature. That's all. Muhammad is given to us to show us what is the best of our nature. Isn't it wonderful? Now, I've talked enough. And I've gone over the time that my son gave me, that little six-year-old. He said, Daddy, talk a little and talk a lot. And that's his way of saying, make a little, say a lot. And I'm working on it. Thank you very much. We ask Allah to give us guidance always, to forgive us our errors, save us from our sins, and unite us in the following of Muhammad the Prophet, and make us the best example for this time and times to come. Ameen.
For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American Spokesman for Human Salvation, call or write WDM Publications. Call 1-708-862-7733 or write Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. Thanks for listening.